First in family. What's going on, y'all? As you may be able to tell by our untimely beginning to this call, it's been a minute since we've gone live with you guys. So we apologize for being a little bit late. If you're watching this on the replay and you have no idea that we're late, well, that's cool too.
Yeah.
But we're here and we're excited about it. So yeah, been gone for a little bit. Apparently, setting up a live call with all this YouTubery involved with these multiple angles we're working on is a perishable skill.
Takes longer than 3 minutes.
And we didn't factor that in today, y'all. We thought we were good to go, and we got.
Oops.
But we're here now, and that's what matters most. We got an FBU in the mix. FBU, I don't know who you are.
But hi.
Your link may have expired, or you may be very new. I just don't know. So in a situation like this, you do what you just did, and you let us know it's Sephra. And then Sephra, we can go, absolutely, your link expired. Because we know you got the link up in here. So peeling back the curtain, since we have those phones, because we just don't have the $4,000 for extra cameras. Since our phones are over here, we can't see the FBUs anymore. So that's going to make things a little awkward, but we're all fam around here, so we'll make this work. Krista made it on time. Krista was worried about if she was going to miss the intro to her question. She already made plans to cover down and watch the replay.
We might have helped you out with our little 8-minute delay.
We're late. We're late, Krista. It's our bad. Your win. You're here just in time for your question because we're just now getting started. So that's good to go. Anna Patterson, hello from raspberry picking and sunflower fields.
That's like the best day ever. For me.
I was say, it didn't sound like a nap in video games. So I don't know if it's the best day ever for everyone. Yeah. But it does sound like a dang good day. I hope you had a great time doing it. Coach Kelly's here. She's at the beach, low battery. Not sure how long Garrett and I will be able to hang.
No worries.
You're at the beach. If you got things to do, we understand. Oh,
that was Roxy. First. Okay.
Thank you, Anna. Yep. So we have some dueling FBUs. Pew, pew. Dueling FBUs. In this case, in this situation, Roxy, you do just like this. You drop your name in there.
Yeah.
You get it in there. You do just like this. Oh. Look at the cover and move from the FBUs.
And it looks like you went and got it. There you go.
Awesome job.
Thank you.
Awesome job, Roxy. Way to solve it.
Yep. You guys,
thank you so much.
Don't ever feel like you have to leave the live call to go and click the link. If you want to just drop dash your name, totally fine. But we do appreciate you doing it.
But if that gets annoying and you know we're just going to ramble for the next couple minutes, you can go out and in. Ins and outs work here. Anna says, that's the cool down activity after zipping all morning. Like so zip lining or zippy doo-dah, zipping around. Context, help me out. My brain is not processing right now, but we appreciate you. That's what we appreciate about you.
Yeah.
Speaking of what we appreciate about you, are you guys ready for the fry?
Yay.
Q and
A
with J and
A.
Right here.
2 weeks gone.
Viper style.
Still got it.
That is not a perishable skill. We got this.
Still got it.
Can't do much else. Kind of forgot how to do basically everything else but go to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, well.
Do the jiu-jits. Forgot everything about that, but hey, you know, we'll find the wins where we can.
The important things I still have.
Good. Zip lining.
Ooh, zip lining is fun.
Zip lining. I can dig it. Well, I kind of planned on doing a little dilly-dallying, doing a little time-wasting, a little housekeeping or whatever. But since Krista's here,
let's get it.
I think we should just get right to it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think so.
Think we should get to it?
Let's do it.
All right, fam. Krista asked a question. And it's a good question. Much ado about meal timing. Krista asks, does it matter what time in the day you eat? Like, should you try to finish eating early in the evening? And more specifically, I have heard if you're trying to lose weight, it's better to not eat any carbs after a certain time of day. And this is a great question.
It's a good question. I like that you specified a few things, too.
It's a great question, and I don't know if you like what I like about this, but my favorite part of this question is, I have heard, in quotes, and then you typed in parentheses, red flag. And to me, that is my favorite part of this question, because it shows you're thinking. It shows that not everything we hear is always going to be what it's cracked up to be. And it also shows that there is a lot of benefit to skepticism, provided we don't let that initial skepticism form a decision without seeking more information. And to me, that was my favorite part of the question.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like the rest of the question, I'm not going to answer it, but I really like that. So good on you, Krista. But let's get this in sequence. Does it matter what time of the day you eat? Is part one. Should you try to finish eating in the early or early in the evening, have your food done by early in the evening, part two. And then more specifically, if you're trying to lose weight, you've heard it's better to not eat any carbs. So we're gonna take this from the macro and then get a little bit to the micro. Does it matter what time in the day you eat? Yeah, of course it matters. But not always for the reasons we think or the reasons we've been told. Now, if we want to get super nuanced in terms of are there benefits of structuring food around certain activities? Are there benefits around timing macronutrients based on performance requirements and or desired outcomes? Then yeah, but at the end of the day, what matters most about the times of the day you eat is, do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy the pattern that you're establishing? Because peeling back a lot of the literature and a lot of the stuff you've heard about meal timing, most of the positive benefits, when you actually dig into it, come down to adherence and consistency, right? So the most important thing about meal timing and when it's going to matter when you eat throughout the day is how it impacts your ability to follow a plan. Because in the context of this question, we're assuming you're following a plan. We're assuming that you have your calories and your macronutrients laid out in front of you and you're executing that plan properly. Giving those confines when you choose to eat them throughout the day matters very little in terms of body composition goals.
So really the question here is, how do you feel? If you are spacing your meals a certain way, eating early, late, all day long, right before you go to bed, how do you feel? How does your body feel? Because that's kind of the biggest factor when it comes down to it, right? If you're stuffing all of your food into the last 3 hours of the day, and your sleep sucks, and your GI sucks, and everything doesn't feel good, and you have to cram your food down, you're not hungry, it's probably not going to feel so good. So yeah, your food timing probably matters. If you're spacing it out and you love it, awesome. If you eat all of it in the morning and you feel great all day and not hungry, not cranky, and your body feels good, awesome. So this is, it's a yes and a no answer. Does it matter? Yes, in certain contexts. Does it matter as far as body composition goals and changes? No. It really comes down to how you feel and what's best for you.
We can kind of illustrate this point right here with keeping up our theme of much ado about meal timing with a tale of two coaches, right? Ann and I have very different preferences for how we space our food for very different reasons. I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm going to speak for me. I love biasing a majority of my intake towards the evening meals. By that I mean dinner and dessert, right? Those are the things that are most important to me. So I can coffee and hate through breakfast, skip lunch, and be fine well into the afternoon, provided I know I've got something amazing to look forward to. I also hate going to bed hungry. Like I love going to bed full. I love that feeling of crawling into bed, you know, just satisfied. It's like a warm blanket inside my belly.
A warm food blanket.
Yeah, it's like a warm food blanket, right? And since I'm measuring and managing, I can bias all those calories and not have any net negatives from it. But it's also because I sleep just fine with food. And that's something that comes into that personal situation. Anne's a little bit different.
I'm a little bit different. There is some overlap, and where that happens is dessert. I love dessert and nighttime snacks. I am like Jonathan in that I like to go to bed full. I don't like to go to bed and your stomach rumbles and you're hungry. I get reflux. It's just not a good situation. So I plan dessert first, my nighttime snack. I am, however, not a middle of the day person. So I'm a breakfast person. I wake up and I'm hungry. I don't do coffee and hate and no food for 8 hours. I'm not a nice person to be around. So I plan a big breakfast. So I have a big breakfast, big nighttime snack, everything else in between. My typical days, you'll find like a Greek yogurt snack in the middle of the day and protein and veggies for lunch and dinner because I don't care. I'll take down a whole plate of chicken and broccoli for dinner and lunch. No big deal because I have a big snack to look forward to. So we do cross over in the dessert sector, but I'm a breakfast person. Jonathan does not like me when I don't eat breakfast in the morning.
You know, one of the things too with Anne is if she pushes food too late in the day, if she skips breakfast too much, it messes with her GI.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know really exactly what the issue is. Is it reflux?
Yeah, I have reflux. I guess I produce a whole lot of stomach acid. I don't know. So if I don't put something in my stomach, it just gets that refluxy gross, and then that feeling kind of never goes away. So
for Anne, even if she wanted to save food for like a big meal or something like that, the juice versus the squeeze isn't going to be there. Feeling horrible all day to try to eat more food at the end of the day isn't going to work for her.
No, what I will do is I'll throw like collagen protein in my coffee. I will sometimes have egg whites. You can eat all the egg whites, a lot of volume, very few calories. So I'll take down a bunch of egg whites, drink a Jocko Milk RTD, something in the morning to keep me going to at least make sure I feel okay until food time.
So, you know, two totally different biases right there. I'm an evening bias. Anne's what we refer to as bookends. She likes something substantial in the morning, not so much in the middle of the day, something substantial at night. Two totally different ways to do it. We got a third coach in the mix. I hate to call you out, PJ, my brother from another mother. But Coach PJ, man, that's a breakfast dude right there. He loves breakfast. He loves biasing his calories. I've seen this dude take down 3/4 of his intake for breakfast and then literally just egg white the whole rest of the day. And he's totally fine with that. That would drive both of us insane because what do I got to look forward to the rest of the day? Like, what? Yeah. Why do I even get out of bed if I don't have dessert, right?
What's the point?
If I can't make a creamy, what am I even doing? You know, what's going on with life? And that's three totally different approaches from people that have been doing this for a long time with some great success. So what time of day you eat isn't going to matter as much if your calories and your macronutrients are controlled. Again, caveat to that. What podium are you trying to get on, right? You're a world-class competitor in endurance activities or a multi-event sport, then we can talk about the nuances of meal timing. But I just want to know what gold medal you're going after and if your sleep, your stress, your hydration, your calories, your macronutrient split, your food quality, and everything else is in line before we're going to see a benefit from those things.
Yeah.
So that's the big bulk of this question. The next question, or the next part of this question you asked was, should you try to finish eating early in the evening? And where this stands out to me is from something that maybe you've heard of on the interwebs these days. Something that they like to call intermittent fasting, or narrowing a food window, or arbitrarily truncating your intake to a set time period because the phases of the moon or the rising of the tide says so. And the reality of that is this. When calories are controlled, there has not been shown any benefit between narrowing food windows, IF, a 16-8 protocol, a 24 protocol. There hasn't been anything when adherence to caloric parameters has been controlled. The problem is, in a lot of these situations, they're using food frequency questionnaires. They're using, hey, tell me what you ate today. They're using these things like that. And that's where the stuff becomes suspect, but it's also where, when a study's well controlled, the proof comes out. What happens a lot of times when people narrow their food timing, when they say, I'm going to finish by X PM, what they end up doing when they're not tracking their calories, when they're not measuring and managing, when they're not controlling their food, is they end up cutting out periods of time when they might be eating without much purpose or thought. What does everybody generally do at night?
It's those late night couch snackies.
You know, I mean, Taco Bell's made an entire career about fourth meal.
Oh, yeah.
We've all heard that nothing good happens after midnight. Well, don't tell me that when I was on tour wolfing down 14 Burrito Supremes and 12 Mexi Melts. That was very good. Wasn't good for this, but it was very good. So what happens when people say that, like, oh, I had great success because I stopped eating after 6 or before whatever. It's not magic. If they found great success, it's because they cut their calories, yeah. Right? They stopped mindlessly eating while they were Netflix and chilling. They stopped, you know, raiding the ice cream with the sleeve of cookies. They stopped snacking.
That time period, too, especially is when, like, you put the kids to bed, or you stop working, close a laptop, or your partner comes home, your day starts to kind of wind down, and all the stress starts to fall on your shoulders and get into your brain, and the feels come out, and the boredom comes out, and that's when people typically turn to eating their feels. So, yeah, you cut out that window, and you stop eating your feels, and all of those calories disappear.
And y'all, now you know why we plan dessert first.
Yeah.
Because we're stressed at that time of night. We're wanting to eat our feels. We've lost our minds, and we're watching a show on the old TV. We're watching an old episode of Letterkenny, you know, pitter-patter. So we plan dessert so we can work with those feelings and not against them. So when we talk about narrowing these windows, that's why people say they have success, and it works great until it doesn't, right? It's the same thing with waiting to start eating. Man, if you want to skip breakfast, skip breakfast. We don't have to call it fasting. We could just call it, hey man, I'm going to skip breakfast so I can eat more lunch and dinner. Provided calories and macronutrients are controlled, you're not going to see a difference here. The third and final part, and the big red flag on the play, what you're saying is, you've heard, if you're trying to lose weight, it's better to not eat carbs after a certain time of day. This, again, when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to body composition and improving it, which is basically fat loss, what we're looking for, when it comes to all of these things, when calories are controlled and there are no medical issues, there's no malaise, there's no sleep disturbances being caused by consuming carbohydrates at night, you feel good when you do it. When your calories are controlled, it matters not a darn if you eat your carbs late at night. You know, I've been eating carbs late at night for over 9 years. I'm doing okay.
So we are two very good case studies for that, actually. Jiu-jitsu nights, when we go to class at nighttime, it runs very late. When I say very late, we're old, very late for us. So we get out of class at 8:30, come home, walk the dog, take the shower, then we make dinner. We miss a meal because of jiu-jitsu. So we have to eat double, we choose to eat double meals at nighttime after class. The majority of those meals are carbs. There is some protein, but it's a lot of carbs. Like, I will sit down to a gigantic bowl of oats, like several servings of oatmeal, topped with all the fruit and maybe some caramel sauce, you know. So it hasn't been an issue. Why? Because we track our macros, we stay on plan, and our calories overall are controlled because we plan to do it that way, and we both like to go to bed full and happy.
And here's the thing. I don't want to beat the dead horse, but I'm going to beat this dead horse. What's going on here, and what we've said, and the common theme about this, is when your calories are controlled. When your calories are controlled, they are your calories, and you can spend them in that 24-hour window however you want. When they are not controlled, well, you're just guessing. And it makes sense that if you're just going to guess, if you care so little about your progress that you're not going to keep track of things, then yeah, arbitrary timelines and arbitrary heuristics, like don't eat carbs after this time and finish your food by this time and skip breakfast until this time. Well, that makes sense to you because you're just guessing. And if you're just guessing, you might as well just guess with something that sounds real good. But the truth of the matter is, when you're controlling your calories and when you're controlling your macronutrient split, all of these things come out in the wash. And that is the freedom that you get with structure. That is the reason, you know, we do this and we've done this for 9 years, is because we don't have to worry about any of these weird, strange, you know, phases of the moon, how we cut our plate. We get to simply just eat the foods we enjoy in the amounts that help us make progress at the times that fit our lifestyle. And that's what leads, in my opinion, to sustainable success. You're finding a plan that fits your life. You're not forcing your life to fit a plan. So what you're following up here with, Krista, is that makes a lot of sense. It matters for elite athletes, but even for them, not as much as calories and macros. 100%. 100%. You're talking about, as you go further nuanced with these things, the marginal rate of return gets less and less and less for the time investment. Now, when you're competing for a living, and every ounce, every gram, every second, you know, every tenth of a second counts, then these things can possibly have an impact. But there's so many more factors to take into place before you do that.
And these are the people that we talk about when we put out an SOS Sunday. To start with, one of our very first SOS Sundays on the email list talks about the ladder. We have a ladder on the path to progress. On those ladder, there are rungs of importance. We start with the big ones first, and it's always balance and consistency and macros first. The very tip top of the ladder gets towards food timing, because it really doesn't matter that much. Unless you are a person that has controlled all of those other variables first to a degree that you are a fraction of a percent off maybe once in a while, none of that other stuff matters. Control the big things first and don't worry about food timing.
And what you're speculating on here with, I think the theory is that if you eat and go to bed, you won't burn any of those calories except for basal metabolism. Whereas if you stop eating and go on to somewhere to somewhat be active for a couple hours, you burn some of those calories. And yeah, this is what all your ketogenic zealots like to talk about, and what your fasted cardio people like to talk about. Well, when you're in ketosis, you burn more fat. Correct.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any stored glycogen. So the only way you're going to get energy for that 70% of VO2 max activity level you're able to perform at is going to be through fat adaptation and fat oxidation. When people say, oh, when you do fasted cardio, you're burning more fat, that's somewhat correct, because due to rate of digestion, truly doing fasted activity is very, very difficult. So you're probably going to still be digesting dinner or snack unless you really truncated that food window. But just because you're burning more fat during activity, when you go back and replace it with excess calories, you're going to have plenty more fat to burn the next day. Controlling calories, controlling macronutrient profile, and being consistent is what matters for body composition over time. It doesn't matter what you burned in a lab one day. What matters is what you can do for the next day after, and the day after that, in the year after that, in the years after that. And that's where all of this stuff gets confused, because people want to find that soundbite to cling on to instead of actually peeling back the curtain on what really brings about sustainable change. And guys, it's really not the sexy secret. The secret everyone's looking for is in the thing they always try to avoid, and that's that personal accountability, and that's that accepting the outcomes of our actions, and that's making decisions every day that are aligned with our goals, even when we may not feel like doing it.
Krista, here's the thing with that. So, in theory, if you were in a calorie deficit and you stopped eating super early and then you went to bed, is there extra calorie burn? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. That is not my area of expertise. Not a scientist. But let's say that you are not tracking and you're not controlling your calories. And you just decide that at 5 p.m. every night, you're going to stop eating. Because you heard that if you stop eating early, you're going to lose fat. Okay, great. Except you're taking down a whopping 4,000 calories a day during the daytime, right? And you stop at 5 or 6 p.m. thinking, but I'm going to lose because I'm going to burn more overnight. Well, no, you're still in a calorie surplus. So even though you might swing one way later, you're undoing all of that earlier in the day. So it's a constant, and it balances out day after day. So you got to be careful what you read sometimes, and you need a little more context.
I think the thing is, too, is understanding that theories are great. How do they hold up when they're put into practice? And that's really that individual thing we talked about. Because, again, calories in, calories out. If they're controlled constantly and consistently, none of these little things matter. Does it matter if you burn more fat at night or burn more fat in the day or burn more fat at lunch? When calories are controlled, no, it doesn't. The degree of effectiveness and efficiency here is going to be so minimal, even if it were possible, that you're not going to notice it over time. So again, what you are going to notice over time is, do you hate your plan or do you look forward to your plan? And balancing that is going to bring a lot more positive impacts than really worrying about what stage the equinox is in terms of timing your succession of your intake. That's my thought on that.
Yeah.
Anna had a comment here that said, the one thing to be just aware of for me, at least, if I eat later at night, the scale is higher in the morning before for me. That's just how it is. So I have to mentally be aware not to panic. It doesn't matter what I eat later if it's up the next morning. Like Anne says, it's all a wash.
Yes, bingo. And we've talked about this before. This is a good point. This is one of those caveats. If you eat later at night and you take in all this food, and digestion does not magically speed up overnight, right? It's the same all day, typically. You're going to be holding more stuff in your gut.
Poop.
Right? That food doesn't have time to digest completely and be excreted from your body. So yeah, in the morning you're going to weigh more. You've got more digesting food in your system, in your gut. So yes, the scale could be up. Why? Because you pounded a bunch of food the night before and it's still sitting in your body. Problem? Nope. Just something to be aware of. And this is, again, why we track and why we like body weights, because these are helpful things that the scale tells you and that tracking tells you. Hey, my scale is up. Let me look back and see what I did. Oh, we went out to dinner and I didn't eat till 10 p.m. Light bulb, right? This is why tracking is a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good point, a good observation, and something to be aware of. And the number of times we've gotten emails like, oh, I'm up 4 pounds. What happened? And I'm like, yo, how much sushi did you have? Because that happened to me last night, too. Yeah, these are things you definitely want to be aware of. But guess what, fam? If your pattern is to eat all your food every night, then it all comes out in the wash and it balances out anyway. So again, a lot of these things you guys are going to hear floating around the interwebs are from people who aren't taking the steps you guys are towards controlling their calories and towards being consistent. And that's the secret. That's the secret to success right there. No, Krista, thank you. That was a good question.
Yeah.
Really good question, and I hope that helped. I hope that helped. I think there's another really good question in here. I've got to take a look at this one. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big one. This is a big one. Okay. For hydration, I've been struggling due to the increase in heat and humidity. Yeah. Summer's here, y'all. My schedule has me running in high humidity and heat. I can definitely feel that I'm dehydrated. I've been drinking more and adding salt. Question: how do you know you're getting the amount of hydration you need for the next run/day? This is a first for me as I love running in heat. I'm also not sure if it's connected to coming off of COVID the last couple weeks.
Ooh, we got a lot going on. Yeah, we can dig into this.
Well, Sephra, had I read that last line, I probably would have set this one up a little bit different.
But we can get into it.
But let's just dive into this one right now. So you're doing everything right. You know it's hot. You feel it in your training. You're sweating more because it's humid. So you've been drinking more and you've been adding in salt and electrolytes to make sure you stay hydrated. Solid plan. Awesome stuff. I would expect nothing less from a runner. The question you ask is, how do you know you're getting the amount of hydration you need for the next run and day? And the answer for that is going to be, it depends, right? The biggest indicator you're going to have is how you feel, how you perform, how your runs are going, how you're sweating, and the color of your pee. You want to look at those factors and you want to make sure they're checking the boxes in order to keep you moving forward. Now, when you throw in the old just happened to be coming off a COVID thing, that's going to throw a little bit of a wrench in the system, because that's not the most understood process right now. Are you battling a little bit of long haul? Is that impacting runs? Are you still dealing with fatigue from being sick and taken out of commish? You know, we don't know. So what we can default back to is that checklist we just talked about.
So, yeah, with COVID, the problem is it can kind of make you feel really crappy across the board. It can make training bad. It can make your body feel gross. You're tired. Probably the one thing on that checklist that you still have to look at is the color of your urine. As far as I have ever known, again, not a scientist.
Are you sure?
Urine color, yeah, yeah. I did not stay to Holiday Inn Express. The color of your urine should not be impacted by COVID, as far as I'm aware. If we have any scientists in the group, please let me know. So that's probably the one I would default to, because the other three, how your body feels, how your performance goes, and your fatigue levels, those can very much be impacted by COVID, and they probably were and still are. So I would default to that fourth one. We talk about this quite a bit. What color are we looking for? In the doctor's office, you guys remember they used to have those charts on the wall. I haven't seen one in a long time, right? They say, what color is your urine? Here's where it should be. And they range all the way from a clear all the way to like the darkest, deepest yellow brown you can find. We really want you somewhere kind of in between, almost on the pale side. Pale yellow is pretty much a good spot to be. So if you're getting a pale yellow color most of the day, you are going to the bathroom several times a day, you're probably okay. Now, Jonathan mentioned something else that's interesting too with the heat in particular, is your sweating rate. This is based on you and how you normally sweat, because I do know quite a few people who don't sweat regularly. If you are a sweater, I'm a big sweater, and you are running and training and you stop sweating or you start getting cold sweats, these are red flags. Heat stroke usually will give you those kind of goosebumps, cold sweats, stop sweating. That's a big red flag, and your dehydration is probably pretty solid at that point.
Look at you getting all paramedic on everybody. Yeah, so check your sweating. Are you sweating? Good to go. Find yourself stop sweating, stop running. I'm going to go back to urine, because why not, right? A good heuristic, Sephra, that you can use is when you look down and you see your first in gold, it needs to be
no good.
On the other side of that, on the lighter side of that. I know you're always rocking the first in gear,
yep.
The swag. You don't want the urine to be first in gold. No. We want to go for the gold, just not our urine color. So that would be my big litmus test for you. Having the additional electrolytes, salting your food, salting your water is going to make sure you stay hydrated, which is a good thing. Making sure you're sweating is a good thing. Making sure your performance is increasing as anticipated based on your training block. And also, check that pee. Check that pee.
That's how we're going to end that right there.
How else would we end it? So I hope that helps. Let us know. And that's all we got question-wise so far. So that's good. Sephir says, this makes sense. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you. That's a good one, man. And especially in this heat right now. Everyone is getting freaking all kinds of heat waves right now. Coach Kelly is throwing something in here. Do you take vitamins? Vitamins can change urine color too. Something to be aware of. Yeah, the cool thing about multivitamins is you're going to get that awesome neon green once.
Yeah.
And after that, you're going to be able to get back to your normal urine color. The thing is what we sometimes call multivitamins and additional vitamins is cheap insurance. Sometimes it's also called a way to make expensive urine. It just depends on what you need. But yeah, that reaction to passing all the vitamins your body doesn't need right now is why it gets that crazy color. But it ain't going to be like that all day.
No, if it is, you're probably overloading yourself with vitamins.
Yeah, if it is, maybe take it as directed and don't spread them out throughout the day, right? Hit them hard from the yard.
There are things like beets can change your urine color. There are a couple of medications, especially for my women out there. There are a couple of medications that will make it a very pretty shade of red-orange. But that's, you know when that's going to happen. It comes with a warning label. So that should not be happening all the time.
Another solid benefit, the unsung hero of tracking is, I got some crazy urine. You can look back and see how many beets did I consume. So that's another good thing.
I mean, I ate a whole can the other day and didn't see anything, so you probably have to be a lot.
So, yeah. So, man, those are some good questions.
Yeah.
Those are some good questions. Speaking of good questions, if you have any more good questions, drop them this way, fam. We'll do our best to answer them. I am going to tell everyone about something coming up, which is pretty freaking awesome, and that is the First In family reunion.
We do have a couple comments, too.
Where?
Just in case anybody followed up.
Where? So, Sephir says, I've been mixing citric acid, salt, zero-calorie water flavoring together to get that salt bump in the water. I can dig it.
Nice.
As long as everything's feeling good, cramps are good or whatever, you probably don't need to worry about magnesium, potassium. Just eat balance. You'll be good to go. Tastes just like Gatorade. I can dig it.
Ooh,
unless you use too much citric acid, then it's liquid Sour Patch Kids. Ooh. I'm all for that.
I'm getting that burning on my tongue.
I'm all for that. And then Kristen Azo. Knows.
Yep, so Azo will do it if you do it in high doses.
Kristen knows.
That painkiller they give you with that medication, too, is, that'll do it.
Oh, see?
Oh, wait a minute.
That was Kevin McMurphy.
I thought that was, good call. Thanks, fam.
FBUs. Man,
thanks, fam.
When you're FBU and me, we don't have a way to see anymore. So click your link or dash something so I don't call you Sephir, Kevin. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
My bad. Now it's awkward.
The phones are in use, so I don't have a way to check.
Now it's awkward. It's all good, brother. It's all good. These things do expire, and we got a little cover and move here. So everybody will absolutely let me know when I get it wrong. I just feel bad for getting it wrong. I wish I had a better way to do it, but we got the phones out of commission right now. So thanks, fam. Thanks for letting me know. Speaking of fam, I'm going to let you know about the family reunion. Man, we're pretty pumped about it this year. We did get kind of thrown a curveball.
Yeah.
The powers that be at SeaWorld have decided that Thursdays are a no-go for Howl-a-Scream.
All Thursdays.
Not just our Thursday, all Thursdays. So what we're thinking about doing is making that Friday night, which means it's more flex time to come in on Thursday. You're not going to miss anything if you can't take all the days of work off or whatever. So we do have a few beds open. If anybody out there in the fam wants to come hang with us, pretty stacked as far as I think just about every coach is going to be there.
Yep.
So it's going to be pretty awesome. And we got some heavy hitters from the fam themselves creeping in. So if you guys want to come to the family reunion and hang out with us, see what summer camp with food scales is all about, it's going to be a good time.
Yep. If you guys are coming to the reunion and you have an issue or find any problem with going to Howl-a-Scream on Friday instead of Thursday, let us know. If you're coming and you haven't bought a ticket for Howl-a-Scream, go buy one. for that Friday. When we bought them, honestly, it just said any date because they're never filled up usually. Right. So just check it that Friday night.
Yeah, we're going to be on a Friday. Friday.
Yep.
Friday, Hollow Scream.
Krista asks,
Coach Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for the reunion.
I'm so excited.
Come and join us. Join us.
This may be only the second time in history that we have all of our coaches there. We're hoping.
Krista asks, what are the dates again? Tell them what they've won.
This is a good question, and I'm going to say it, and then I will double
check
it.
Hold on, man. Hold on. You keep saying. I'm going to look.
October 13, 14, 15. That's what I'm saying. And the night of the 12th, if you want to come in on that Thursday. Jonathan's double checking me right now. It is the 13th
through 15th. Yep, 13, 14, 15. Good times.
The house is going to be open on Thursday the 12th. We usually get in about 4 p.m. We will always ask if we can get in earlier, but 4 p.m. is the time I'd plan to get to the house. And then Friday night, Hallow Screen. So 13, 14, 15, unless you're flying in and you want to come in the 12th, you can do that
too. The 12th, more than welcome to come in. We try to get over there as early as we can.
Yeah.
We don't officially like to go over too early before we can get in the house because we have all the cold stuff.
All the food gets delivered.
Right. So we really don't want to spoil the food. That would kind of spoil the fun. Yeah. So we want to make sure whatever. But normally what we've done in the past, historically, for people that have early flights is we meet up somewhere for some lunch, some grub, some poke, some chipotle, something like that. And we get to hang on early. So if you can get in early, let us know. We'll get it figured out.
This is the one reunion. So we had one earlier this year. Next year, as far as we know, there is only going to be one. And it will be the October one. So if you want to come to this one, come to this one because your next opportunity will be
next year
from now in October, unless you choose to join us at the Echelon Front events.
Or whatever other craziness we get into.
Whatever other events or travels we do.
If anybody in the fam wants to join us at Immersion Camp next year,
because you
just want to get in all the BJJ, the BJJ is calling your name, get in quick. Because
guys,
freaking out.
It was 60% sold out like 3 days after they opened it, and now it's been a week and a half. So.
Absolutely. This might be the most brilliant idea. Anna said maybe we can do cards on Thursday.
Ooh, kick it off with a bang. Talk about getting to know each other. So we are all, I think we've all met each other, except...
Except we got two people that haven't been exposed to this environment. Yeah.
That has not been exposed to this, that I am so excited to get hugs from and meet in person. They are also coming to Dallas.
A couple slayers in the fam.
That's a good way to get to know everybody.
Absolutely.
Find your limits.
Roxy and Mark, I hope you're ready to see the fam in a whole different light when we play the cards against humanity.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be a good time. And if it's not your jam, well...
That's okay, too.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll figure it out.
We got a whole house to play in.
Yeah, but I think it's a great idea. So maybe we just stamp that one and we lock it in.
Done.
Roxy says, it is not my game of choice.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
We got a whole house. I want to say there's a movie theater in this one, too, and no big deal at all.
Yeah. It's definitely an acquired taste, especially the way we end up getting down with it. That's for sure.
And we'll have to talk about it Thursday night because... Thursday's rough with all the transport and the food and the so we'll see. I might be sleeping on the couch at that time, to be honest. I'm going to eat my snack and pass out on the couch. No promises.
Wiener. Outside of that, man, what you got? Anything?
I think that's it.
I will tell you this. Today was an epic day in first in... Wait, that's not what I wanted.
No.
I mean, it's always an epic day for the Field Notes faction. But that's not what I wanted. It was an epic day for first in for the win because we gave out a ton of weeks today.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think I gave out close to 30.
Wow.
Well,
look
30
at
is
you
the
guys.
Wrong number because that
I mean,
would have to be
number.
Divisible.
Yeah.
It was like 28 or 32 weeks,
wow.
You know, depending on the number of people. Because of people referring members, inspiring members, to join them on the path to progress and become part of this First In family.
You guys are awesome.
So for anyone that doesn't know, and if you didn't get 4 weeks added to your program today, that's okay. Let's just keep working, keep walking the walk, leading by example, keep inspiring people to live their best lives. But yeah, anyone you inspire to join us, collective us, not just us, join the First In family, we're going to give you 4 weeks for it.
Which is insane, because if you get 6 people to join the family, you've covered 24 weeks.
That's insane. Should we?
That's you.
Maybe we don't want to do this. Can we take this back? Can we take this back?
No.
No, we can't. So, it was an epic day. I'm literally like adjusting and adding, and I'm like, whew.
That's awesome.
Free week fairy. Let's get this thing on.
That's awesome.
So guys, again, not that we want to bribe you to tell people about this. I don't want you starting an MLM or a cult.
No, no.
But if you have anybody that, you know, you think might be a good fit for our fam, you think might be ready to make some lasting change and join your inner journey, it's our way of saying thank you for being open to having a conversation and sharing so much of yourself with people to inspire them. On that note, if you got anything for us, let us know.
I'm reading the comments.
Roxy said, I'm totally good with observing and cheering. Oh, so you just don't want to play.
You are totally fine. Listen.
I get it.
Everything at the reunion is optional.
I get it.
It's optional. You're totally fine.
Anna's totally correct. You can just sit and laugh at us. We are very comical.
We have had people that it is not their jam, and there are movie rooms and game rooms, and there's a clubhouse, and there's totally other things to do. No judgment. We want you to have fun. You're there for you. You're there to have fun, hang out with us. It's totally fine.
And the thing is, it sounds like to me like maybe you just don't want to be the one saying some of the answers. And I get
which
it.
Which I understand.
I get it. Because I like to make this one say the best things.
Oh my gosh.
So I get it completely. This is all, you know, as much or as little or as you want to partake in. So yeah, absolutely, man. It's 100% your event, your party, your summer camp. If you want to sit and watch the buffoons buffoon, we can absolutely make sure that happens too. On that note, guys, it seems like
it might be time for date night.
It might be time for date night. What I really loved, and I might actually take this from immersion camp, was Rafael Rabella when he would do Q&A.
Yeah.
He would ask questions, and he'd go, "Nobody has questions? You're all black belts? Good." And then he would just shut the questions off like that. So nobody has questions. You're all black belts. Good. I'm happy for that. So if you don't have anything right now, save it for next week. Yeah. We'll be here to answer your questions. And that's it, man.
Yeah.
You ready to get out of here?
I'm ready.
All right, guys. Thanks for being awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us. And thanks first and foremost for being first in. You guys are awesome. Take care. Bye.